National Cabinet, as we heard there, is back on a so-called war footing to try and turbocharge the vaccine rollout. Phil Khoury joins us now. Phil, hello there.
Good morning, Fran.
It seems a wise move to get everyone working together to overcome problems with the rollout. But as we heard Dan Tehan say, we've always known we're going to get the best outcomes when we work together. So why haven't they been doing that from the start?
Very good question, Fran. I think one of the things that surprises most of us is the sort of, I guess, the lack of coordination between the state. Just one of the sort of shortcomings of this program is the lack of coordination, as it seems, and everyone doing their own thing differently. And, you know, one little tier of government responsible for administering it to one certain cohort of the population and the states the rest, and, you know, throw in all the supply problems and the AstraZeneca problem and everything else, and it's all very messy. So, yeah, it's a good question. So I think it is a very good move by the PM, just on practical terms.
Well, certainly on practical terms, but what about politics too? Is this the Prime Minister, do you think, keen to share the blame around when things go wrong as much as trying to get things back on track?
I suspect, very much so. There's a big element of politics in this. Safety in numbers was what came to mind. There's lots of facets, Fran. I mean, first and foremost, we have to get this vaccine rolled out. We just have to. It's just for the economy, for health, for people's sanity, for business and so forth. So it is compelling that, this is done this way. But, of course, there's a political facet to this as well. You know, the Prime Minister at the start of the year anointed the vaccine rollout as his number one priority, or as one of his number one priorities for this year, and if they
it was number one of five, wasn't it?
Yes, and if they mess that up, they're in deep trouble. And regardless of the reasons for, and there are many things here that are beyond their control. You know, the AstraZeneca thing last week with the clots. You know, that's not their fault. They can't. The fact the Europeans aren't sending it isn't their fault as such. But they will. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day if people aren't vaccinated. The government will get blamed for it. So,
yeah, but Phil, many things are beyond their control. But those things don't necessarily include why. Very few disability homes have
absolutely.
Have not been vaccinated.
I'm not saying they're without blame.
The premiers have nailed them on.
Absolutely.
And they're
absolutely
not stepping up and owning those, really.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they're totally without blame, but some of these things aren't their problem. But what I am saying is, regardless of that, they will get blamed for it politically at the end if it doesn't, you know, if it's a mess. So clearly the, getting the National Cabinet together gives him that element of cover, but it also, it just needs to be done.
It needs to get moving.
And twice weekly is quite a lot. I mean, that's the sort of level that they were meeting this time last year when our world was falling apart. Yeah.
Another issue plaguing the Prime Minister is his allegations around women more broadly. But yesterday, Christine Holgate, the former Australia Post CEO, dropped that bomb in that inquiry, accused the Prime Minister of humiliating and bullying her out of her job. Given all the political problems the government's had over the treatment of women, how much do you think Scott Morrison is regretting now those comments to Parliament last year about, you know, how appalled he was at the purchase of the Cartier watches and how if she won't step down, she must go?
Oh, look, I suspect, Fran, if he had his time again, he wouldn't do it, most definitely. I haven't spoken to him, but I'd be very surprised. It has backfired spectacularly, the whole thing. And as you said, I don't think it was gender-based at the time. There may have been subconscious bias coming into that, but at the time, the government was under a lot of pressure over wasted money. Remember the Leppington Triangle thing, the $30 bucks for a block of Lambworth 3.
Which immediately brought sports rorts back into
sports
people's rorts, consciousness.
The ASIC payments, you know, and then Labor unearthed this in estimates. And he was under pressure. Mm. He needed to be seen to be reacting against waste, and he lost his composure. And he went way too hard and too strong against Christine Holgate and things transpired as they did. But now, as we've had the events of recent months with the PM's, you know, tenure towards, you know, women, and it just plays into that as well. So it's sort of doubly damaging.
Well, it puts a different focus on that language at the time, given that we now have seen the tenure, as you say. Phil, thank you very much.
On your friend.
Phil Khoury is political editor of the Australian Financial Review.